has passed. And you might even, during this time of year, think, well, what's all the fuss about measuring time? I mean, does it really matter that we measure time? Well, man has always been fascinated by the measurement of time from the very beginning. We've marked it, and we've measured it, and we've recorded it. And for centuries, we've developed instruments. We've even gotten better at it, haven't we? Hey, look at there. I got a watch. The other day, I picked up my phone, and I said, hey, Siri, what time is it? And she said, good morning, Joe. It's 8:30 a.m. I'd never heard her say that. I thought, well, my phone is developing a relationship with me. She's never addressed me like that before. But who would ever thought? Who'd ever thought you could just that time could be measured in the ways that we measure it today? Well, you have to understand something. God is the one who set this whole time measurement thing in motion. He initiated it. In Genesis 1:14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. See, it's from the beginning, God wanted us to experience the passing of time, to know the rhythm of exchanging one year for another, the old for the new. It's God who started the clock ticking, and it has never stopped ever since. It's steady, it's sure, it's consistent. Time. Time. From generation to generation. In James, the fourth chapter, verse 14, the writer declares, life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. How many of you know that? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Wow. You've often heard me say that time is an illusion. It really is. Sometimes it seems like there's an abundance of it, and other times we're confronted by the reality of its briefness. It all depends on where you're standing on the timeline. This is called functional perspective. Usually it depends on your age. As you look at time, you might say, well, that's short and that's long. Just like in this illustration, both these lines are actually the same, but one looks longer than the other, depending on how you're looking at time. And the older we get, we look at time differently. Have you ever heard someone say, man, the older I get, the faster time goes? How many of you know that's not true? Because it's just like it's always been. What you're really experiencing is the reality of time. You're realizing that, just as the scripture says, life is short. And you'll realize that the older you get, you go, man, how has this happened? It doesn't take long one day when you stand by the graveside of a loved one to realize, wow, time really is short. How about a birthday or a holiday? Wasn't it just seem like yesterday we were celebrating 2014? I mean, wow, how's this happen? Is time really that steady? It is the one wind that will blow across the bow of our ship that will be constant and consistent. I'm always amazed when someone comes up to me in the mall and says, hey, Pastor Joe, I want you to meet my wife and kids. Well, first thing I'm praying, who is this? And I'll get close to my wife. Who is this? Because she will remember sometimes. Sometimes she'll even go, I don't know. So we're hoping someone will use a name, only to realize that the person standing before us over 25 years ago was a little Royal Ranger at 8 years of age, and now he has a family of his own with children. No way. How did that happen? How did you get to the time that you're living here in your life? I was doing a wedding the other day, and it hit me as I stand before this wonderful couple who are so in love. I said, man, I married your parents. I dedicated you when you were a little baby. No way. How did that happen? And it seemed to happen so quickly, didn't it? It depends on where you're standing on the timeline. My daughter called me not long ago, and she said, Dad, I got to tell you, Mike and I, we exchange Cooper stories because we have two grandsons that are named Cooper. And she said, we were driving down the highway the other day, and Cooper just asked this question out of the blue, Mommy, When's the first time we met Grandpa? So she said, well, Grandpa was there when you were born. And he accepted that. And then she said, Grandpa was there when Mommy was born. She said, his eyes got as big as saucers. And he said, how old is Grandpa? Grandpa has existed from the beginning of time, before anybody ever was. Because the younger you are, time takes on a different measure than where we are today. Time is an illusion. Sometimes time seems to run pretty slow, doesn't it? Especially when you're waiting and waiting and waiting. You're thinking, man, is time ever good? I remember when I was in second grade looking across the playground to the sixth graders. I thought it would never happen for me. When would I ever become a sixth grader? That seemed like eternity. But because time is an illusion, isn't it? We know better. But sometimes time does seem to just poke along, doesn't it? Other times you might feel like this guy, like time is a runaway train. And you're just hanging on for your dear life. Do you ever feel like that? Like, my goodness, how is this happening? Well, time waits for no man. We know that. Down through the centuries, we know this motto. It's true. Time doesn't wait for anyone. You can't stop it. You can't slow it down. And when it's gone, you can't get it back. But there is something you can do. And in your bulletin, you can follow through and fill in the blanks if you'd like. But here is, in your relationship with time, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 gives us a charge today. See that you walk circumspectly, or another word would be carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Here it is. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's something you can do with time, and especially as we stand on the threshold of this new year. Once again, here we are. What are we going to do? We're going to redeem it. We're going to redeem it. I was telling them in the first service, I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to collect green stamps. And when you made purchases, they gave you stamps and you put them in a book. Do you remember that? And what did you do when your book got full? You took it to the redemption center, right? And you would redeem it. And you'd walk away with cool stuff like coffee pots and waffle makers. It was pretty. Now, you had spent a lot of money to get that little cheap item, but it felt good because you were taking those green stamps and you were redeeming them. I believe that God wants you to take this new year and redeem it. Purchase something with it. Have something to show for it. Now, here we are at the end of 2014. What did you redeem with 2014? What do you have to show for it? What happened during that year? There's probably a lot of things that happened. Good things. Things that hopefully changed your life. It will be no different in this new year. This year is a gift to you from God. We don't know how many years we have on this earth. Look at the obituary. It's all over the map. Wow. Did your heart go out last night for the airplane crash of the little girl? Wasn't that just incredible? Lost her whole family. 7 years old. Walked through the woods to find help. I can't even imagine that. Wow. I bet they never saw that on the radar. I bet they never realized their lives and her life would change so drastically. I don't know what this new year holds for us. I believe it is a gift from God. The Bible says we'll live to be 70, 80 if we're strong. Anybody here over 80? All right. That's the first service, isn't it? First service, we got some strong people in the first service. This is the young service. Well, how many years are you going to have? Do you know? Hey, you probably got some great plans, don't you, for the future? But you don't know. You live your life and you realize that it really is brief, and God is giving it to us as a gift and he wants us to do something with it. I believe today the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you as you and position you for this new year. I want you to go with me to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. God is speaking through the prophet to the children of Israel. He's preparing them for a new thing. Just like we're preparing for a new thing, a new year. This particular time in their lives was pretty dark. Their homeland had been taken away from them. They were captives in the land. There were sin issues going on in their lives. It was not a good time. And in the midst of that, the word of the Lord came forth through Isaiah, and these words were spoken. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. There are four things that God wanted to do in the lives of the children of Israel to position them for the new day that they were about to enter. And I believe these four things can have significance in our life too as we begin this new year. I believe this is how we will position ourselves to redeem this new year. The first thing he said was, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. God wants to change your focus as you enter into this new year. The question is not what has God done in the past. The question is, what is God going to do right now? What is God doing in this new year? Be careful. I know one of the traps I fall into so often is the phrase, the good old days. I remember the good old days, don't you? Connie and I were talking about the good old days, and we came to a conclusion the good old days probably weren't as good as we thought they were. We remember when I first met Connie, they didn't have running water. They had two buckets. I went to visit her, and I said, I'd like to have a drink. Go over there to that bucket. There's a dipper in there. Really? Yeah, just take a drink. The good old days, I'll tell you. Outside bathrooms. Yeah, the good old days, yeah. See, that's how I got her to marry me. I promised her flushing toilets. So I will get, man, she felt, you do what you got to do, Marshall. I remember they used to brush their teeth on the front porch. Oh, the good old days. I remember, the one thing I remember most is I learned real quick about taking a bath. They brought a big old tub out into the kitchen and filled it with water. I learned, don't be a gentleman. I was a gentleman the first time and I went last. I only did that one time. Because I found out they don't empty this water. They come back with a fresh bucket and pour it in there. All that does is dilute what's already there. Oh, the good old days. You know, sometimes they're not as good as we remember them. On the other hand, there are some great things. And for the children of Israel, they had a lot of memories, a lot of things. You know, the crossing of the Red Sea and, wow, some great things God did for them. But God said to them, look, I want you to change your focus. I don't want you to consider the things of old. I'm going to do something new in your midst. In Matthew 4:4, the writer says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, that's present tense. Not proceeded, proceeds. God is speaking to us fresh and new today. I believe he wants to do something fresh in us. The children of Israel had sin issues in their life. Boy, that'll keep you from moving forward. And he said, listen, I don't want you to think about those things. I'm more concerned about your future than your past. It's not about your failures. It's about what I'm going to do right now in your life. So oftentimes the past, we get stuck in the past. And next week, I'm going to give you a key to get out of that. It's going to be so simple, but if you'll put it in the door and turn it, I'll tell you, 2015 could be a different year for you. The second thing that the writer declared to the children of Israel was that he was going to do a new thing. Does God do new things? Not only does he do new things, he has done new things, he will do new things. He's doing new things. That's just God's nature. So I thought he never changes. He doesn't change. But he's fresh. He brings to us freshness every day in our lives. You don't believe it? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a... Psalms 33:3. Sing to him a... Really? What's wrong with the old songs? I'll tell you what. You write a new song for your wife and sing it to her. She's going to love it. Because it's fresh. God likes that. He likes a freshness in our life. Jeremiah 31:31. The timing is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. What's wrong with the old one? Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. Mark 1:27. The people were all so amazed. They asked each other as they were hearing Jesus teach, is this a new teaching? We never heard this before. Have you ever opened up the book? And you read a scripture, you read 1,000 times, and all of a sudden, bam, you go, whoa, I never saw that before. Oh, that must be a new thing. God's into that, isn't he? 2 Peter 3:13, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Revelations 21:5, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. God's in the new. He's in the new. And I believe in this new year, God's going to do some new things. I believe he's going to do some new things in my life. I'm kind of excited about this new year. I'd like to tell you I know what it's going to hold, but I don't. I don't. But I know God's going to do some fresh new things for me, for you, and for this church. Do you believe it? He said it shall spring forth suddenly, and you don't want to miss it. God's wanting you to pay attention. He's wanting you to focus, because see how many times we were talking. If you ever want to get in a conversation going somewhere with someone, say, "Hey, do you remember the time that God was a chicken?" That'll get people's attention. God's never been a chicken. Oh, yes, he was. Jesus said, "Oh, I was like a mother hen that would gather the little chicks unto me, but they would not." Why? What'd Jesus say? Because they did not know their day of visitation. They missed it. You see, well, here's some other things that'll cause you to miss it. How about nostalgia and romanticism of the past? That'll cause you to miss it. You're so stuck in the past, you can't see what God's doing right now, today. Preconceived ideas about how God must work. Have you ever noticed in Scripture, God didn't heal people the same way two times in a row? Wonder why he did that. Because he didn't want you to get stuck. He wanted you to know, hey, I might move in a way you never expected. I might come out from the left-hand side. You were expecting me from the right-hand side. Here I am. Well, I might work through a Democrat. Well, I might work through a Republican. We limit God. God can show up in places and times you never thought. Be careful, because you might miss it. If you get too narrow, don't put God in a box. Your box isn't big enough. What about expectations? You know, we talked about John the Baptist last week. He baptized Jesus. He recognized he was the Son of God, but he had some expectations for Jesus. And after Jesus didn't meet that expectation, what did John the Baptist do when he was in jail? He sent a messenger. He said, hey, are you the one, or are we to wait for another? Well, John, I thought you already knew he was the one. Well, yeah, but it's not meeting my expectations. John almost missed it, his day of visitation. How about knowledge? Yeah, knowledge is important. The Pharisees, they knew the law, but they didn't know the God in the flesh called Christ Jesus. But they knew the law. They could spot a false doctrine a mile away. But they didn't know their day of visitation. Knowledge is not enough. How about legalism? You know, anybody here ever wrestled with that? I'm glad this church isn't legalistic. Are you? Are you legalistic? You know, legalism comes out of perfectionism. We're going to be perfect. And that always leads to legalism. But you know where legalism always takes you? To hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. I love it that in Israel, Mike's going in February, there's a law there that swine's feet shall not touch Israeli soil. But there's swine there. How do they get around that? Concrete slabs. Concrete slab. It's not touching Israel. We see what I mean? It's so easy to get all caught up in that. Listen, it's the spirit of what God is wanting to do. Don't miss it. Don't restrict God to what he did in the past. The past is great. We need to remember from whence we came. But don't let the past keep you from experiencing what God has today. We are partakers of God's nature. This is part of God's DNA. God never changes, but he moves in freshness among us. And that's what's going to happen in this new year. And number four, this is great. He says he's going to build roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, once you get a hold of this, God's making a pretty important promise. He's going to build roads where there haven't been any. And he's going to bring water into the desert. How important is it? This is a sign of God's direction and provision. All right? How many of you need direction? I need some right now in my life. I'm praying, God, I need to know what to do. I've laid some fleeces before the Lord. Is that okay? I've done that. Lord, I'm really not sure what to do. Well, you're the preacher. You ought to know. Sorry, I don't know. I've asked God, and he's not talking right now to me. He said, God, the heavens are brass. And sometimes it's like that. David experienced that. I'm not sure which way to go. And next week, we're going to give you a key to what to do when you don't know which way to go. Because, see, I believe God is wanting to give us direction. He doesn't want us wandering aimlessly through life. He's going to build a road for you to walk on. That's what roads are for, aren't they? They're made to travel on. And in the wilderness, that poor little girl last night wandered through the woods. Boy, it'd been nice if she'd had a road, wouldn't it? She found her way, but it was very difficult. A road makes it a lot easier. God's going to build a road, and he's going to build a road in places there's never been any. Be careful, you might miss it because you're not expecting it. How important is water in the desert? You will die without water. God says, I'm going to bring water in the dry places. I'm going to give you nourishment. I'm going to bring provision for you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay to be concerned, but don't worry. Why? Worry involves fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. It's okay to be concerned. How many of you are saving for retirement? You young people, do it now. All us old folks, we all say the same thing. Wish I could go back and do that again. Yeah. Well, that's kind of that timeline. It's an illusion, isn't it? Oh, I got plenty of time for that. I got plenty. Listen, I save for retirement. You say, oh, yeah, but you know, the stock market, that's probably going to go. You know, Social Security probably won't be. I don't care. I don't care about any of those things. See, because I'm concerned, but I'm not afraid. I'm going to prepare, but God's going to take care of me in the end. He holds me in the palm of his hand. Do you believe that? It is God's provision. Well, here we are at a great time of the year. I love New Year's. I don't know about you. It's a time to make a resolution. Have you made yours yet? What's the number one resolution people make? Lose weight. It's true. I've already made mine. Shoot, I've lost 3,000 pounds in my life. I have. I gain it, gain it back, lose it, gain it back. The number one diet, low carb. That's my favorite. In fact, my kids could tell you a funny story. I found this diet called the Carbohydrate Addict's Diet. You would love it. It works like this. Your first two meals, very restrictive. You get like 6 almonds for breakfast. I mean, just you're eating like a little squirrel. But for dinner, you have an hour and you can eat whatever you want. Ching, chang. I said, that is my diet. But I'll tell you, my kids will tell you, there was a time I had 11 minutes left and I stopped at Brahms and there was a line. We go to crazy things to lose weight, don't we? But I remember that one of my favorite foods is bread. How about you? I love bread. How many of you know the low-carb diet is your enemy? No bread, no pasta. In fact, one day I looked up at the clock in the kitchen, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I got to get off this diet. Everything's looking like bread to me, you know. I was standing on the scale one day, and my wife said, listen, sucking in your stomach isn't going to help. I said, yeah, but I can't see the numbers if I don't do that, so. I made a resolution one year to do everything I could, everything in my power to make Connie happy for the whole year. That's not funny. It's very serious stuff. I asked Connie what her resolution was. She said, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you keep your resolution. Resolutions are great. But this morning, we're going to make a resolution. You're going to like this one. I think you can keep it. We're going to make a resolution to be fat. We're going to be fat for God. I'm using this so you can remember it, okay? It's the opposite of the way you're trained, but God's looking for some fat people. What does it mean? If you're going to be fat for God this year, you're going to be faithful. How many of you are willing to make that resolution? You want to be faithful for God? That's what God's looking for. When you stand before God someday, he's not going to say, well done, my good and successful servant. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. God's looking for faithfulness. He told young Timothy, look for faithful men to entrust with it. It's faithfulness. I want to be faithful this year. How many of you got some room to grow in that area? Yeehaw. I want to be faithful. Webster defines faithfulness as to follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulty. Sometimes things will get tough and they'll challenge your faithfulness. Sometimes it's easy to be faithful. Sometimes not so much. This year, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to my wife, to my family. I want to be faithful to you. God has entrusted a time to us here. I want to be faithful with it. I don't want to waste it. God, what is it you want from me? Because when I lay my head on my pillow at night, there's only one thing I want. I want to sense God's pleasure. Lord, was I faithful to you today? Was I obedient to you today? Also, I want to be available. I want to be available. Remember what Mary said when she heard all this stuff about her new baby? She said, I don't understand all this. You know, I don't understand everything. But she hid these things in her heart. And she said, remember what she said? Let it be unto me according to your word. Was she available? She was available. I like the story of the little boy when Jesus fed the 5,000. And they'd been teaching all day. They were hungry. Didn't have time to go into town. And Jesus said to his disciples, listen, we need to feed this crowd. And of course, they're like, whoa, we only got a little bit of money here. Not enough to feed all these people. And so they went out, they found the little boy, remember, with the loaves and fishes. And I want you to think of it from his perspective for a minute. They were asking him to give up his lunch. And nobody had any. I mean, he could have sold that lunch for a lot of money, right? He could have done it. He gave it to them. He was available. And what did God do with that lunch? He broke it. Can you imagine what it was like for the disciples as they kept handing it out? Jesus was trying to teach them something. And they fed all those people. Not only did they feed them, but they had baskets left over. I think that little boy got more than his lunch that day. Why? Because he's available. He was available. Simon loaned his boat to Jesus one day because Jesus needed it. And he went out and he used it. He came back full of fish. So you got to be available. Are you available? I want to be available. I want to be available. And I've got my own. Now, there's things that will keep you from being available. There's fears. There's, you know, you don't understand. What is God doing? I'm a little perplexed, Lord, by all this. But to stay available will open up this new thing that God. Would you be willing to say to God today on this first Sunday of the new year, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to be available. And lastly, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. Now, to be thankful involves another T word that I like, and I should have put it on there. Trust. If you don't trust God, you will have a difficult time being thankful. How many of you struggle with thankfulness? It's hard for you to be thankful. You look at life, you complain about your job. Maybe you're complaining about your spouse, your kids. You know, you're always comparing them with other kids, wish they'd measure up, and the house you live in, and on it goes. The car I drive. Remember, the spirit of thankfulness is contentment. And God wants to teach us in this new year to be content. We want to be thankful for what we have. But that's going to involve a level of trust. And the spirit of thankfulness brings contentment, and that involves trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. How many of you believe that? How does He want us to trust? With our whole hearts. He doesn't want us to trust in part. He wants us to go all in on it. Isn't this the bottom line? Are we going to trust Him? This year didn't end up anything like we saw. I mean, 10 months ago, you never saw this. I didn't see it. But God saw it. And because you're faithful and available and thankful, God's going to be able to do something in this new year that will be equally beyond your imagination. beyond anything you could ask or think. But it will involve you to trust him. I want to close with a story that many of you may have heard before. There was a man by the name of Charles Blondin. He was a tightrope artist around the turn of the century. And he was most known for putting a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he would walk across the falls. And people would come from all over to see him and to watch him, just to be in awe. People would even come from around. One day, the Duke of Newcastle came from England to watch. He's part of the crowd. And so I think Charles decided to kick it up a notch. So he walked across the falls and then blindfolded himself and came back. The crowd's going, whoa. Wow. But he wasn't done. He then decided to get a wheelbarrow. And he took the wheelbarrow and he pushed it across the falls. Whoa. Then he took a sack of potatoes and he put it in the wheelbarrow and he pushed it back. The crowd's going crazy. This is just incredible. And then Charles walks over to the Duke of Newcastle. He says, sir, after what you've seen here today, do you believe that I could put a man in this wheelbarrow and push him across the falls? And the Duke said, yeah, I believe you could do that. After what I've seen here today, no doubt about it. He said, good. Sir, I'd like you to get into the wheelbarrow. The Duke didn't do it. Don't be hard on him. I wouldn't have done it either. But I thought as I heard that story, isn't that just like us? We have seen God do some awesome things, haven't we? Wow. Don't lose your wow. Don't lose it, man. I mean, I'm not talking just past. I mean, right now, what is God? Lord, you are incredible. And we know that, and we have testimonies and all these things. But are you willing to get in the wheelbarrow? And I understand why you don't want to, because you can hear the sound of the falls. You might even feel the mist of the spray. You go, man, that's dangerous. I don't want to do that. Sometimes life is dangerous. And God may call you to do some extraordinary things in this next year. And you're going to need to be faithful, available. That availability includes your time, your talents, everything. Your service, your witness, your kids, your home, everything. Are you available? And are you going to be thankful? And are you going to trust him? Because that's the bottom line. Are we going to trust him? And what we're going to do as we close the service today is we're going to partake from the table that God has prepared for us. This cup that we hold, it's the reason I trust him so much. Jesus went all the way for me, and now I want to be available for him. Amen. And as I celebrate the gift of my salvation and the brokenness of Christ's body, how can I not be faithful? As you come to the table today, I want you to commit to this resolution. Before you take that drink, before you dip that bread, are you willing to make this resolution? Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you. Because of what you've done for me, how can I not be faithful? I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be available. I'm going to be thankful, and I'm going to trust you with my life in this next year. Do you realize what this could mean for you? It could turn your marriage around. That's right. It could change your life. It could change this church. So remember, God's looking for fat people. When you go out to lunch today, tell the waitress, have you made your resolution yet? No? She said, yeah, and it's probably going to be I'm going to lose weight. So, well, I made a resolution. I'm going to be fat for God. It's a perfect opportunity. Then you tell them what it means. Say, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be available. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to trust God. And you'll have an opportunity to witness for him. Amen? I'm going to pray with you. And Mike, would you come? And where's Brian? Brian's here. Good. And Marshall, we're going to serve you. There's a common cup for a reason. In Ephesians, it says, do everything you can to keep the unity of the Spirit. There's one God, one baptism, one Lord. Did you know there's one church? You are part of something big. Faith community is just part of it. We're a grain of sand on the beach. God's church is big. I've fallen in love with this church. I've been places I never thought I'd ever go. Across denominational lines, I've seen God's people in the most unusual places. And I realize God loves his church. I want to serve him. And you're part of that. We're part of that. We're part of something really big. And we want to celebrate that today around the table. I'm going to pray with you before you come. And I want you to take the bread, dip it in the cup, and then eat and consume it as a confession of your resolution this year, what you're going to do. Can you do that with all sincerity? If you will, I guarantee you, God will do a new thing. He will build roads, and he will bring provision to you. Take him at his word. Trust him in it. I know he'll do it. Father, we come as your church, the body of Christ, living stones stacked one on top of another. And we receive your gift today. We celebrate it. And we commit ourselves afresh to it. Help us be faithful, available, and thankful. Help us to trust you in this, to your glory, in this new year. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You come. With me, please. As you leave this place, I want you to go with this blessing. I want you to know that we're going to be open for prayer. We are going to have the baptism, of course, but if you need prayer, please wait around. Be available. Even with your need, you can be available for God to be able to minister to you, and we want to be faithful to that. We're thankful for you. We're trusting God in this new year. Let's celebrate it together, and we're going to hear the testimonies as they come in of God's faithfulness and what's happening in this place. Get ready. Get ready. It's going to spring forth. Shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? I pray that you would go in the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you go. We love you.